All right, good morning. We'll go ahead and call this Internal Affairs meeting to order. Seeking a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Moved and seconded twice. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, let's move on to item number two, the staff review of the 2012 10-year site plan.
Good morning, Commissioners. Philip Ellis with the Lincoln staff. Item two is the review of the 2012 10-year site plans. This report is the same version that appeared on the last IA with a few minor corrections. Overall, the report shows that growth continues in Florida and along with it natural gas usage, which is projected at 62% of all fuel for electricity this year. Renewable generation is also projected to grow in the state with approximately 1,000 megawatts of planned new generation, about half of which is solar PV. On the customer side, net metering has also increased to over 4,000 participants, with a total of 29 megawatts installed, a tenfold increase since 2008. In the 10-year site plans, three utilities plan new units that require the Commission's determination of need. TECO, which is already filed for the Polk 2 through 5 combined cycle conversion, Progress, and Seminole. With the additions outlined in the 10-year site plans, all utilities project sufficient capacity to meet planning reserve requirements through 2021. In the report, staff also did review the impact of the continued outage of CR3. Progress has sufficient capacity to meet its planning reserve requirements until 2016, the summer peak period. At that time, if the unit has not returned to service, the company would either need to purchase power or have accelerated its next generating unit. There is projected to be sufficient capacity within the state for the company to purchase power if needed. Recent EPA rules were also addressed in the report, but due to the timing of some of the rules and recent court actions, we expect those to be more fully addressed in next year's report. Overall, staff believes the 10-year site plans to be suitable for planning purposes.
All right, thank you very much. Commissioners, questions? Commissioner Pelz?
Thank you, and I want to thank the Commission for deferring this item because I need to spend additional time with staff looking at the information. I primarily focused on the reserve margin as we've done in the past, but I think this year staff has provided additional information about load management and the potential retirement of not only CR3, but also CR1 and 2 and Lansing 1 and 2, which have been identified by the environmental group. So I wanted to focus on that, and at this time, I believe that it is suitable for planning purposes and should be submitted, but I think I should reiterate, I believe it was Commissioner Edgar yesterday indicated that next year there's going to be a lot of decisions to be made and a lot more information. So I look forward to the next year's 10-year site plan and the workshop that precedes it to see what the effects will be once the CR3 decision is made as these new environmental requirements come into play and potential retirements. But I appreciate staff's work. I like looking closely at the without load management reserve margin, which I think is something we need to focus on. Again, I just want to thank the Commission for the deferral of this item.
All right. Any further discussion or questions?
I move approval.
All right. Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you very much. We're moving on to item number three, which is the draft report on electrical vehicle charging station study.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Ben Crawford with the Office of Industry Development and Market Analysis. I'm here today seeking approval of the draft electric vehicle charging study report that you have in front of you. During the last general legislative session, legislature passed House Bill 7117, which required the commission to provide a report on the potential effects of public charging stations and privately owned electric vehicle charging on both energy consumption and the impact on the electric grid in the state. It also required the commission to investigate the feasibility of using off-grid solar photovoltaic power as a source of electricity for the electric vehicle charging stations. In its review, commission staff has found that electric vehicles are likely to result only in a very small increase in electricity consumption over the 10-year planning horizon, paired with a small decrease in the consumption of petroleum-based fuels. Staff has also found that Florida's electric utilities might have to upgrade certain distribution equipment in the event of electric vehicle clustering, you know, when you have multiple electric vehicles on a single transformer, or when the high-voltage quick charge stations come in. We don't have any of those in the state right now, but they do potentially, they will require a lot of energy on the distribution system, and there may need to be some upgrades for those. Additionally, staff found that off-grid solar photovoltaic charging stations are technically possible, but will come at a large economic cost compared to grid-tied systems, and as a result, they're probably only feasible for very remote locations removed from the electric grid. I'd like to point out the contributions of Robert Graves in engineering and Judy Harlow and Lee Gilbert in economics in preparation of this report. And we're staff seeks approval of the draft report, and I'm here to answer any questions or concerns you may have.
All right, commissioners, any questions or comments?
I just have a question.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford, for your report. And at the recent NARUC conference, this seemed to generate a lot of interest among other state regulatory commissions. And it's of interest. I was curious, does this particular statute require an annual report, or is it just this one time?
No, the statute, it did make a change in statute. This wasn't one of the things where they'll just pass a law that means there's a one-time report. So it didn't make it statute as just a one-year report, but because it remains in statute, if the legislature wants us to do this again, they could simply change the due date on it and have us repeat the study.
And could we take it upon ourselves to initiate a continuing study?
If the commission wanted to, yes, we could continue to investigate this in the future in whatever context you'd like us to. Staff had discussed possibly doing some of it as part of the 10-year site plan review process, or we could do a separate report, or really how we all would like to address it.
Sounds good.
All right. Just out of curiosity, sure. I realize that we have about 1,400 charging stations in the state. Are there any partnerships between some of our utilities and, say, automakers or big stores like Walmart and so forth?
I'm not aware of any between automakers and, or between any of the large stores or anything. I know Walgreens has rolled out a few charging stations in the state. And there have been a large number of, some of the public charging stations are at auto dealerships that sell electric vehicles, so we've seen some of that. The utilities might be able to answer that question a little better in terms of if they entered into new partnerships. I know there have been, OUC's done some partnerships with to put some public charging stations up in Orlando, and I think there have been a few other programs off the top of my head. I'm not sure I can go into any detail about it. But.
Sure. Just if there are any utilities that could answer that or have any comment on the question I posed.
Mr. Billy Stiles with Tampa Electric Company. I'm not aware that we have any such partnerships for installing charging stations in our service area.
Okay. Sure. Mr. Bowles.
Thank you. I just have a quick question.
Sure.
I think it's good to see that even with the projected increase in electric vehicles, that the infrastructure, at least generating capacity, is in place to support that. So that's a good sign. You indicated that the quick charge stations may require distribution system improvements. Under the current tariffs or rules, the cost for those improvements will be borne by the facility that's proposed, or would it be?
My understanding, and this might end up coming up as a case-by-case basis, but my understanding is those would probably, because we're talking about specific upgrade for specific station, that would probably end up using contributions in aid of construction, the CIAC in some context. That's not a definite, as far as I know, but that may be one of the economics people might be able to answer that a little better than I could, but my understanding CIAC would probably be used for that.
Is there an economic person here?
What are you asking for?
Generally, depending on what the customer's taking voltage at, you know, if he requested a higher level of voltage that was outside the existing tariff, he would pay whatever the standard tariff rate would be for that particular level of service. I don't know specifically what voltages these would be taken, but if there's a range of service boundaries that you would take service under, as long as you're within that boundary, there'd be no additional cost for you. If you got outside that voltage service, then you'd pay the next higher tariff level.
Yeah, my understanding is the quick charge stations, they'd be the at the 480 volt, somewhere in that range. They'd likely to be to require three phase power too, so they're a little more than just the basic.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. I think we're ready for a motion.
If I may interject. We've noticed a few little typos, wording fixes, the usual sort of thing that you're going to find on a report of this size. If possible, we'd like to, if we can work with the chairman's office, just to make those changes before we send the report on.
All right. Mm-hmm.
I move approval of the draft report on electric vehicle charging.
All right, so move is in a second.
Second.
All right, move is in a second. Would all in favor say aye?
Aye.
All right, thank you. Moving on to number four, Lifeline.
Good morning, Commissioners. Jim Polk on behalf of staff. Item number four this morning addresses a draft of the 2012 annual Lifeline report, which was prepared in accordance with the requirements of 364.10 Florida statutes. By December 31st of each year, the Commission is required to report to the Governor, the President of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House of Representatives on the number of customers subscribing to Lifeline service and the effectiveness of procedures to promote participation in the program. The number of participants in Florida's Lifeline program grew 9.7% this past year, July 1 through June 30th of 2012. And currently, there's over 1 million participants in the Lifeline program as of June 30th. This year's report includes descriptions of changes that have been made to Florida's LinkUp and Lifeline programs due to the release of the FCC order on Lifeline and LinkUp reform and modernization. The report also describes outreach activities made throughout the last year to enable low-income Florida households to obtain and maintain basic local telephone service. Staff is requesting the Commissioner's approval to submit this report and is prepared to answer any questions the Commissioners may have.
All right, are there any questions? Sure.
On table five, on page 11, the Lifeline net participation, we see some companies, a significant decrease and other groups a significant increase. Can you explain a lot of discrepancy between companies on net growth rate?
There was some decreases in wireline companies this year. There were increases in the wireless companies. Additionally, due to the FCC controlling with the state and finding duplicates of customers, in some of those cases, the companies found duplicates that there may be a wireline mixed with a wireless, so their participation dropped over last year.
Okay. All right. Any further questions or comments on Lifeline? Well, I want to thank you all for your work, especially in the outreach aspect of it, making sure that people are aware that this program exists, and the more people that are eligible that sign up, the more we make a dent into our donor status as a state in this program. I mean, sitting on that USAC board sort of hurts every time I look at those numbers. So I certainly appreciate your work and the work of our utilities in their outreach efforts.
Move to approve.
All right. Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you very much. Legislative update.
Morning, commissioners. Just wanted to provide you our first legislative update. The election is over and things have settled and we have final results finally from the Hamilton Board. Committee meetings begin next week. Tuesday and Wednesday are the busy days. It appears on Tuesday the House Energy Committee and the Senate Communications, Energy, and Utilities meetings will take place. I believe on Wednesday some appropriations meetings will take place. I've not seen those agendas yet. But just want to let you know everything will be gearing up. Finally, we'll start to see some bills. Being an election year, things started slowly. We do have committee members and chairmen in the House, which I sent to you, I believe, on Monday. We're still waiting for a committee chairman from the Senate, but literally, I think any day we'll see that. So, any questions?
And your office will be sending out meeting notices?
Yes, ma'am. Jane's out this week, so I'm trying to play catch up on that one, but yes, we'll continue to do that.
All right. On that note, I will be representing us over there on Tuesday, the House and the Senate. So,
good luck.
All right. Any further questions or comments on our legislative updates? All right. Thank you very much. All right. Executive Director.
A short update on the FECA study. We've just received our third draft, providing comments. The final report is due back to the agency on December 7th. We'll have the normal circulation for you all, and we'll be available to discuss it with you in some format. I'm not sure we've decided on what the best format is in order to discuss it, but it'll be made available, and we'll follow up on it. That'll be December 7th, which is due back.
All right. Anything else? All right. Any questions for the executive director? All right. Moving on to other matters.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to provide an update on the Water and Wastewater Study Committee. We've been pretty active, as you guys have been made aware. We've had four meetings so far. We are having our fifth meeting today at 12:30 in these wonderful chambers. And then we have our customer meetings December 5th at Newport Richey at 9 a.m. and then in Eustis at 6 p.m. I do suspect that they will be well-attended events. Just can't wait for those. I also wanted to really, really commend our staff, Greg Schaefer, Joanne Chase, Larry Harris, Catherine Pennington, Marshall Willis, Braulio. They have been so tremendous, above and beyond. And if there's an opportunity for me to thank them at any meeting, I'd be happy to do so. The work product that is coming out is tremendous. So thank you guys so much. You're incredible. That's all.
Good deal. Anything else on other matters?
That's a great note to end on.
I agree. With that, Commissioner Angry moves around.